You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, join the more than 100,000 Browns fans who are registered members of the Browns Backers Worldwide Fan Club. Receive merchandise discounts, special event invitations, and exclusive VIP experiences. Visit clevelandbrowns.com to learn much more. And let's learn a little more about the Browns from someone who covers this team extremely well for the Akron Beacon Journal. You check out his great work there if you're not a subscriber to the newspaper. He is Nate Ulrich and a frequent visitor to the show. Nate, as we look at this game from what we want to take out of it, and that's a question I've asked other people this week, I'm going to pose it to you. With nothing on the line, I mean, the easy talk is, oh, you play for pride. But yeah, okay. What do you, but you're, as a chronicler of what this team does, what do you want to note from this particular game?
Well,
anything special? Okay, that
kinda,
answers it.
It's kind of hard.
You got nothing?
Well, yeah. Vic, I got to be honest with you. These are two teams, as I likened it in something I wrote this week. It's like crawling on broken glass toward the finish line. Ooh. I mean, it is brutal when you don't have anything to play
for. It's a great
for.
Analogy.
It's a meaningless game on both sides. It's hard to get excited about. And, you know, I was looking at it from my perspective. Hey, you know, are there any storylines to grab hold of? And, you know, lo and behold, the reunion with Josh Cribbs was canceled 2 weeks ago when he was placed on injured reserve. So that went out the window. But then an old friend, Kellen Winslow, decided to open his mouth yesterday.
And
Kellen, who may not play.
He can't be covered, Nate.
Right. So that was that was interesting. And, of course, fun to hear the reactions from the Browns players in the locker room today. Most of the guys thought it was quite comical. And, you know, T.J. Ward said he chuckled when he heard it or when he saw it. Joe Hayden said, that's funny. And DeQuell Jackson said that he'll worry about the guys who are actually on the field. So that little reunion is something to look forward to. I think it's something I'll now be looking at.
Before the game?
Or, yeah.
So that might be the only time.
That's about it. But, you know, and then Joe Hayden, I just think that Joe Hayden's story is something to look forward to because –
Do you get a sense that he's going to play? What's your take on it?
Yeah, I do think he'll play. I think that I could tell yesterday, he didn't practice yesterday, but he had a pep in his step. He was walking around the field as like a guy who thought he had a chance. He was riding the bike. Just body language, it just spoke volumes to me that he would practice today and try to play. So you can put a check mark next to the first one. He practiced today. He says basically it'll be a game time decision. He's definitely traveling with the team. I think he's going to push through. I think he's going to play. And, you know, he didn't really want to go down this path too much, but I think that there is some kind of redemption at stake for him. We know he got off to a really hot start and allowed one touchdown in the first 10 games and then allowed four in each of the past four games. So he said on Monday he wasn't playing at his best level. The defense obviously isn't playing at its best level. And it's a chance for Joe Hayden to get out there, push through something, prove something to himself and to his teammates that he can step up while injured, perform well, and also maybe have a good showing right before the players and coaches vote for the Pro Bowl December 23rd to the 26th. I think
it would be great.
I think that there's something there. He didn't, like I said, he didn't want to go there, but I think there's something to it.
As you look at this matchup with the Jets and the Browns, Chris Ivory's been running the football extremely well for the Jets, 5.7 yards per carry over the last six games. The Browns' run defense was very strong early. Now they finally allowed a 100-yard rusher, Matt Forte, last week. How do you see that matchup? Because to me, that's probably going to be the toughest thing. I think even though the pass defense has been the much maligned part of this defense lately with multiple scores in nine straight games, they've been pretty good against the run, and we kind of saw that breakdown a little bit last week, and I'm worried that Chris Ivory could pound the rock a little bit this week.
Yeah, of course it's going to be key, and you know, earlier this season, DeQuell Jackson was saying stuff like, nobody's going to run on us, no one can run on us. And like you said, that is taking a dip. And obviously, Matt Forte was the first one to break the 100-yard plateau against this defense in terms of rushing. So, yeah, obviously that's going to be a key. And then I think on the flip side, the one I'm looking at when the Browns are on offense is you got to get Josh Gordon the ball. Obviously, it's something people have been lamenting since the loss to the Bears. But you got to get him involved, give him a chance. And I'm really looking forward. I should have said this earlier because this is something I'm looking forward to. I think this game is kind of interesting for Josh Gordon, just because this is the stadium where he really broke out.
I mean, yes, against the Giants last year.
Yeah, he had two touchdowns in that game. He put himself on the map. He hadn't scored before in the NFL, and he likes the idea of going back to this place and basically trying to do some damage like he did in his first visit there. Of course, it's against a different team. But, yeah, I think it's all about Jason Campbell getting the ball to Josh Gordon. And Norv Turner said it yesterday. The plays were there, okay? We were just off. You know, we just missed Josh. We didn't see Josh, and the ball didn't get to him often enough. At the end of the day, he had 10 targets, but really we know how the game went, and we know early on he wasn't getting it.
Yeah, it's those early targets that need to happen, and we didn't see that then. The hitch routes, whatever it takes to get going, if there's things that were, and there were, that discouraged Jason Campbell that I don't know that the coaching staff necessarily agreed should have discouraged him as much from looking away from him early on, find that. Find that right away, because that's what opposing defenses are all going to do. So when he's been at his very best and involved in the biggest possible way, we saw it in New England, we saw it in other games, it's the early start, right? It's those. It's even the routes that just kind of like a bubble screen, you know, just get it in open space and let Josh do his Josh thing. And I think that's the key. The other part that makes it even more interesting from a pass game perspective, it'll be fascinating to see how the coaching staff and how the players, including Josh Gordon and, of course, Jason Campbell, how everybody works with the fact that you don't have the only other guy who commands respect as a pass catcher in there, and Jordan Cameron being out with the concussion. So now it's Marquise Gray. We've been impressed with his athleticism when he's come in the Wildcat formation that he did last week, a couple of really nice, powerful, and explosive runs. And you don't, you know, when people line up like that or teams line up like that, opponents generally can take it away. It's not a highly impactful thing, and to see two plays work like that was impressive. I thought Marquise Gray was the biggest reason it did, but now to see more of him as a tight end, and I think this is going to be more about guys Marquise Gray than Gary Barnage. I mean, Gary Barnage, nice, okay guy, you know, solid guy. He's a guy. The guy you're looking to see if you got anything from is him.
He could be an great athletic move tight end for this team, yeah, which would be exciting.
Absolutely. Norv Turner yesterday said that he thought that this guy has a bright future and has been really impressed how he's made that transition, because it is quite a transition when you play quarterback your whole life. You're playing quarterback at Minnesota in college. You come in as an undrafted rookie, and all of a sudden they want you to play tight end in the NFL. And he said he's got a lot of room to grow, but he thinks he's a pretty good receiver. He thinks that's his strength, because he did play, in addition to quarterback, played a little receiver at Minnesota. He's a very versatile guy in that way. Said the blocking is his weakness. He needs to get bigger, needs to get stronger, and that's been the toughest thing to get used to. But, yeah, when we're talking about storylines and, hey, is there anything you can kind of look forward to in this game, he, you know, during the course of this week has become one of those things to look for. Because Jordan Cameron's out, and you know, he's an interesting guy. He's an interesting prospect who the Browns claimed off waivers. He was one of those several guys claimed off waivers heading into week one. And you know, hey, he's had some solid contributions, but really I think he only has 2 catches for 8 yards this season, so we haven't really seen him, you know, extended time at tight end, and he'll certainly get that audition Sunday against the Jets.
Yes, he will. So, Nate, I've been asking, we had Scott Petrak in here, I asked him this, and there are a lot of differing opinions, I think, that are out there in Brownsland, although given the lack of call your shots, I think maybe more people are thinking about the future rather than the present. So, for these last two games, would you rather see 2 Cleveland Brown wins or 2 Cleveland Brown losses with an eye towards the draft?
I think that 2 wins is the correct answer, because, you know, your new coaching staff, And you want to say, you know, people rip Chutt, hey, you know, when he says progress, oh, we've heard that, you know, all these regimes, all these coaches since 99, you know, we're so tired of it, and I get that, and they should be tired of it. But you know what? If Chutt wants to show that there's progress and, you know, that he believes that, you know, the future is bright here in Cleveland, then he can get 2 wins to close it out, and then there will be some substance behind those kind of, you know, coach speak words that we hear all the time.
Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Oh. There's some substance to that. Nathan and I talked about this also. This has been one of our topics of this week. The idea that if you win the final two games, if you lose the final two games, it doesn't impact anything that's happening going forward in a true way with the football team, other than, of course, you know, we're talking draft position and whatever that might mean. But the case for them to try and win these last two, the case is, I think it will leave the bad taste is already there. I don't know that there's any mouthwash that's gonna handle that right now, because I think people have already gone beyond thinking that there's even any slight redeeming value of whatever happens from here on out. And today's Call Your Shot Friday is reflective of that. But I'm with you that for Rob Chudzinski's sake, for the general sake of people's perception of this team and of how it's, quote, being run, to end it with a couple of wins, to at least said, well, they did, because that's what you'll, as the months go by in the offseason, well, they did end the year with a couple of victories, and it just gave you a little something. They were, you know, we know what these other games were. We know how close they came. We know the would-haves and could-haves and should-haves, but they're all going to just be remembered in one blur as losses. And if these two get added to that list and it becomes a seven-game losing streak to end the season, unfortunately for Rob Chudzinski and for others in this building who are in the football decision-making side, that stat will be quoted by you and anyone else, and me and anyone else writing about this football team, talking about this football team. It'll be one of those stated facts of the 2013 season.
Yeah, and it's not just about, you know, not even silencing.
And winning two isn't silencing anybody either. I just want to be clear on that.
I think it all changed if they win week one of next year and nobody cares about anything.
Right. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. But I'm saying the discussion between now and week.
It's a longer offseason.
How many months is that? It's a bunch of months.
That's more excitement for an early pick, I think.
It's not about taking some ammo away from critics. I guess silencing critics isn't going to happen, but taking some ammo. I don't even think it's necessarily about that as much as it is. You know, forget about the public, but I think it does mean something to the players who are going to be back here next year.
Yeah, and it will mean something to Rob Chudzinski.
Yeah, I mean, coaching staff and the players.
They want to be able to say when it's all said and done that they won these last two. But you're a zillion percent right that the most important game, Nathan, is that one to be played whatever the date is, September blank against blank. That's the one they got to win.
You know, it's interesting because it's almost like at that point it becomes, even though it's real victory, it becomes almost like a moral victory for this coaching staff and for these players, when at this point moral victories of that kind are in some ways could potentially be detrimental to the future, as it were, which is an interest. It's just a weird situation.
It's a contrast.
When you're eliminated from the playoffs, it becomes a very interesting situation in the NFL.
True. No, there's no doubt. Nate, great stuff. I'm talking about Nate Ulrich, and this guy knows it's always great.
Well, thank you for
the other Nathan. Thank you, buddy. And we will see you in MetLife Stadium Sunday.
Absolutely. Thanks again.
All right. Nate Ulrich does a terrific job. He covers the Browns for the Akron Beacon Journal. Again, check out his great work on that newspaper's website if you're not a subscriber to the paper. And if you're not and you're in Akron, you should be, because this guy writes great stuff. All right. We've got more coming up for you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Yes. It's going to be Friday Forecast coming up. Critically acclaimed. I don't know that it swept the nation as much as after further review, but it's up there.
It's getting there.
Dino, what do you think on the scale of?
Yeah, it's not. It's like a, you know, if you think about like the Oscars and the Grammy. I mean, this is like maybe a Golden Globe winning segment. Whereas, you know, after further review is Oscar caliber.
There you go.
Okay.
All right, I accept that. It is, and we've got to be honest about things. Thank you, my friend. More coming up. CBD on ESPN 850 WKMR.